One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace, and that would wipe the smile right from my face.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the February 12th edition of Full Court Press, brought to you by The Game on News Talk 1400 and The Game Entertainment and Media. Scott Nason with you on this Saturday morning as we are joined by co-host Matt Johnson, former head coach of the Pickford Panthers boys basketball team. And Matt, thanks for joining us once again on Full Court Press. How you doing?
Doing well. It's the calm before the storm, the day before the Super Bowl. And my Bengals are going to shock the world.
We will certainly talk about that more coming up at the end of the show, Matt. But let's get to our special guest today on Full Court Press. Sophomore guard for the Rudyard Bulldogs varsity boys basketball team, Cam Peterson, joining us on Full Court Press. Cam, appreciate you taking time out of your very busy schedule to join us on Full Court Press. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing good, Cam. And first of all, I'll ask the first question. Last night, the Rudyard Bulldogs took on Sheboygan in Straits Area Conference action. And, well, you earned the victory, improving to 13-0 on the season as you knocked off Sheboygan by the score of 54-41. Cam, kind of walk our listeners through that game. Certainly maybe not your biggest margin of victory this year, but hey, a win's a win, and you're undefeated in both league and overall play. How did the game go last night?
It was very physical. Sheboygan played really well. They shot really well and played defense, kind of shot me and EJ down and the rest of our team down. And they out-hustled us. They kind of just outplayed us all over, but we're very happy to get the win and just move on to the next game.
Well, you know, and thank you, Cam, for being on the show. You know, I think your game earlier in the week against Clare, you know, I think that was the game of the week involving EUP teams. Because, I mean, that Clare is like top-notch competition. The level of play was, you know, I think beyond anything that, you know, anything that really around in the region right now. And you were able to get the win. It was a close game. And I'm warning you, Scott, in advance, I have a follow-up question. So my first question is, can you talk a little bit about that Clare game and what that team was like and what that experience was like?
First off, it was just amazing. Just going down to play a big school downstate and not a good team too, but also it was a very physical game, very very hard defense both ways. I don't know if either team scored over 50 points, but it was a tough matchup and it was a blast.
Yeah, it was something. You know, Rudyard was, I think, up 7 with about a minute to go in the game. And you think at that point, you know, it was my feeling like that Clare team had maybe underestimated Rudyard a bit. And we're not necessarily having their best shooting day. And all of a sudden that last minute of the game, I mean, the pressure picked up and they were able to cut it to one possession game with the ball. And at the very end of the game, you get a steal. And move the ball up the floor. There's a foul, some free throws involved. But you had the key steal there that really won the game for Rudyard. So, you know, from your perspective, what happened on that play?
I knew they were trying to get it to their shooter. So right away at half court, I picked them up and I could see they were looking for him. And I just stepped in front of the pass and took it away and then tried to waste as much time off the clock as I could before we shot free throws.
Cam Peterson joining us on Full Court Press, sophomore guard for the Rudyard Bulldogs varsity boys basketball team. And Cam, I've known you and your parents for quite some time, and it seems like you've been a member of this varsity team for a long time. I can remember you on the bench helping out your dad, Tracy, who was one of the coaches. And just, you know, you're a sophomore this season, and just having all that experience, having a dad as a coach and really being around this Rudyard Bulldogs team pretty much your whole life. How has that helped you when you finally were on the varsity last season, just having all that time around these guys, learning all about what, you know, high school varsity boys basketball is?
Yeah, it definitely helped me grow and develop in the game. It just made me more aware of what would happen. And just being able to play with EJ and Tate and Austin and Brett and the guys that I graduated last year. Doing it when I was younger and just following them all the way up. It's fun, and you just get a lot of experience doing it, going all over the state.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cam, so one of the things I've been impressed with here with the season is that, you know, your team seems to have an ability to play pretty consistently, even against teams that are what I would say hard to get excited for. You know, games where, you know, you'd be favored pretty heavily. Why do you think the team has been able to do that, not kind of have any collapses or any games that kind of sneak up on you?
We kind of prepare that any night we could have an off night and the other team could shoot the lights out. So we just have that mentality going in, knowing that every game is going to be a fight until the final buzzer, and just take one game at a time. I mean, you can't overlook opponents, because you saw Sheboygan. I think they played Newberry tough, and yeah. Sheboygan, they led most of the first half and into the third quarter.
Cam, one of your strengths is your two-way ability on both ends of the court. I would put your defense up against about anybody in the area, as well as your offensive exploits, you know, not just scoring, but passing and rebounding. And, you know, Matt mentioned your play in that Clare game. How important is it to you as a player to be that kind of two-way player? You know, you don't see a lot of times when you read the game accounts, if you weren't there, you know, looking at the statistics, you don't see as much on the defensive end. But, you know, how important is it for you as a player to improve defensively as much as offensively?
Well, just being able to win at the end of the game and doing whatever I can to help my team out and help get the win, I'll do it. If it's diving on loose balls and getting rebounds, it's like our whole team. Our whole team will go all out, defense or offense, just to win.
So you're on a team with you have seniors who've been there for a long time. You know, I was going against those guys when they were freshmen, and we had some good games. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, are predicting Rudyard as a team to really make a run this year. We just talk about, do you have sort of a sense of urgency, even though you're just a sophomore, kind of knowing who your teammates are? Do you feel a sense of urgency to do it this year, or does it feel like the journey's just beginning?
I feel like Rudyard has a bright future, but this year, I mean, we're one of the highest rated teams. So I guess kind of this year, but also I could see it into the future as well.
Cam Peterson joining us on Full Court Press, sophomore guard for the Rudyard Bulldogs boys varsity team. Cam, you'll be in action later on today at home against Roscommon, and then six games left in the regular season. You'll be at Cedarville Detour along with St. Ignace. Big game on Friday against the Saints, and then Sheboygan. You'll finish up at home against Pickford, Engadine, and Brimley, and then districts will be in Engadine as the Bulldogs, a pretty heavy favorite there. Question for you is, what does this team have to do a little bit better? Granted, you're 13-0 and you've done things very well this season, but I'm sure your dad would agree you're always looking for things to improve on. In your opinion, what do the Bulldogs need to do and try to improve on to make another deep run like you did last year, or maybe even a deeper run and take home a state title?
We definitely need to step up defensively. Other teams getting too many offensive rebounds. It kind of happened last night with Sheboygan, just second chance points was a big thing. and limiting turnovers. We have to limit turnovers, and then making our shots consistently, playing consistently. It's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, you know, this is now the second Redyard player that we've had on the show. We had EJ on and Cam on for the first of his appearances. He's a sophomore, so probably many appearances to go. But one of the things that strikes me is how, Scott, how they really are prioritizing the right things, like
yes.
the important thing. Like, the winning is not an accident. And meanwhile, I just think you look at some of the teams that are struggling, and it's like they're fighting about playing time and comparing with each other, and so-and-so scored so many things. And it's not like this great mystery as to why some teams are winning and some teams are not. So I'll just say that about his answers. So, Cam, you have Roscommon today. By the time this podcast is posted, well, actually, the game probably won't have been underway, but a lot of people will probably be listening after the fact. Do you know anything about Roscommon? Do you know what they bring to the table? Or since you played last night, are you going in blind?
We watched film on them throughout the week. They're scrappy. I mean, they play every possession like it's their last, and if they get hot, they can shoot the lights out. They have a great point guard. I think he's committed a D3 college, and he killed us last year. I think he had 25, 26. So they're a good team. I mean, we can't take them lightly.
Cam, my final question to you today is the same question I asked one of your teammates, EJ Suggett, a few weeks ago, is just how far can this Rudyard Bulldogs team go? You made it to your first state semifinal since 1963. Believe it or not, that was before both Matt, I, and I believe your dad was born, along with your mom. How far can this team go as far as what you think is, you know, being a sophomore and having, you know, a lot of key seniors? You guys have been there before. How far can Rudyard make a tournament run?
That's a great question. I think if we just take one game at a time and not get ahead of ourselves and just play consistently, I think we might have a shot, but just take one game at a time right now.
That's a great answer right there, Matt, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And, you know, having watched this team, so impressed by them and so impressed by what Cam does on the floor, I, when I was coaching, I desperately wanted him to go to Pickford. I'd still be coaching if he did. But anyway, my final question, I'll give you a chance to set someone up here, to spread the love, if you would. Tell me, who do you think is the most underrated player on your team?
Oh, man, that's tough. I mean, everybody brings us their special ability, if it's a starter off the bench, but I'd have to say probably Jesse Zerup. Him coming off the bench when Tate gets in the foul trouble and being able to step up and play great defense on their other team's big guy and being able to score. I think he's come a long way and he's been huge for us.
Cam Peterson joining us on Full Court Press, sophomore guard for the Rudyard Bulldogs varsity boys basketball team. Cam, appreciate you taking time out before your game against Roscommon today. Certainly good luck in that game and the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll be seeing each other very soon at the gym. And thanks for joining Matt and I on Full Court Press today.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, pal. Go get him today.
All right, thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. Me back. Matt and I will continue Full Court Press coming up here on the Game Entertainment and Media. And welcome back to this February 12th edition of Full Court Press. Scott Nason joined by Matt Johnson. And Matt, appreciate you setting up the interview with Cam Peterson. First time we've had him on the show. And certainly you can tell that kid has been around sports his entire life. He loves sports. Of course, his dad, Tracy, one of the coaches for Rudyard. He had brothers Caleb Davin and others. Trent, I believe, that also played on the Rudyard Bulldogs basketball team. All three sport athletes like Cam. Certainly you can tell by his answers. He knows what he's talking about, and more importantly, he knows what he's doing on the court this season.
Absolutely. I really wish, I wish I had a guy like that. I ran motion offense, and with motion, you don't have predetermined movements. You're reading the defense and playing off of that, and it puts a premium at players who understand the game. And if you don't understand the game, if you've not been around it, you'll struggle if you're used to just kind of like following a pattern. And one of the things, that I found through the years is a lot of these teams, they'll have kids who they're athletic to some degree, but they're not necessarily basketball smart because they haven't watched a lot of sports. I don't know, they have more things to do. There's different video games, right, and their phone, and they've just not watched a lot of sports. Cam is a sports fan, okay? He's always been a sports fan. So he's just, they say you need your 10,000 hours to become an expert at something. I think he's on his way to 10,000 hours.
He might have passed it already.
he may have, but I mean, it's such a huge difference because if you just watched a lot of college basketball and high school basketball, you've seen all these different situations come up and you're just smarter to the game. So, I think that explains it. He's a fan of the game and a student of the game. And that's why he's one of the reasons, along with hard work, that I think that he's excelling.
And the other thing, Matt, and I asked Cam in the interview about, just being around that team, even as a youngster, and you see that with Johnny Ingles down in St. Ignace. We talked to his dad, Doug, of course, his mom, Doreen, coaches the St. Ignace girls basketball team, winning state championships. But just being around that and seeing how it all kind of transpired, it's almost like having a job interview, 5 or 6 years before you even have the job, just being able to see what it is, even at a young age. And we're going to talk more about that coming up as far as, a varsity coach with the lower levels. That experience, it can't be understated. Certainly has helped both Cam and Johnny in their success as sophomores.
Absolutely. You want to have guys around. And one of the things I always thought with, if you're having managers, you want to have managers who are, kids. Ideally, you'd like to have kids who you think have upside in the program, right?
Because
you almost use it as an opportunity.
Matt, let's look at last night in boys basketball. We already talked about Rudyard improving to 13-0 as they defeated Sheboygan by the score of 54-41. Other games last night, I know you have comments at least on one of these that you watched. Sioux High took on Brimley in the annual Rivals versus Cancer game at the Carl Parker Memorial Gymnasium in Brimley. And the Blue Devils scored the most points they have all season long as they ran past Brimley by the score of 92-63. Sioux High improves to 7-8 on the season. They are in Escanaba this afternoon and will be at Sheboygan this upcoming Friday. Brimley with the loss, they fall to 6-7. The Bays will host St. Ignace on Tuesday and Engadine on Friday. And so, Matt, I know you watched that game last night in Brimley. Certainly, Sioux High scored a lot of points. Really, the result wasn't as surprising, maybe, as the offensive output was for the Blue Devils.
Yeah, I mean, it was a one-point game at the half. Brimley, they've been, since COVID hit and they had shutdowns and they didn't practice for a while. They had a strong start to the season, but they really had kind of hit a roadblock. I will say this, watching them in that first half especially, I think that they're going to be picking it up here. I think that they're going to be getting over the roadblock because they do have some shooters now. And that became apparent. They have some guys, and I think that in these EUP games, except for Rudyard, I think that they could beat the rest of them. So the Sioux in that game, one of the things that just strikes you is how deep that team is.
Very.
It's kind of this, I feel like it's Groundhog's Day. I just come here and I feel like I repeat the same thing. One of the issues that they constantly are having is their rotation and figuring out their rotation. And, I will say this. the biggest advantage that they had in the game last night was their post guys again.
Yep.
Just because, you know, Callan Campbell inside, I mean, Brimley just didn't have an answer for that. And they're deep that way, Gravel, et cetera. But glad to see Jacob Davies starting. You know, when a guy is a winner like that and a competitor like that, you just need to have him on the floor.
I agree.
You know, and there might be some other guys who check boxes about prototypical basketball players, but when the will to win is that strong, you need to have the guy on the floor. He just brings that. But I look at those games and it just seems like they have an endless supply of guys who can run and who you can throw on the floor. So I was more surprised that it was as close as it was in the first half. Sometimes I think that's the rotation's too big, you know, and right. That contributes to it. But ultimately, it's just tough to keep up if you don't have that kind of depth.
We had head coach of the St. Ignace Saints, Doug Ingles, on the show last week, and his team continues to play well and win. Last night, they topped Newberry at home 62-48 to win their fifth game in a row. The Saints now 10-4 on the year, 4-2 in second place in the Straits Area Conference. St. Ignace, will be at Brimley on Tuesday and host Rudyard on Friday. Pickford, they joined Engadine this week in earning their first win of the year last night at the Purple Palace. Actually, that game was at Engadine as the Panthers win 56-45. Pickford now 1-10 on the year. They will host Lake Leelanau St. Mary's today and Newberry on Wednesday, and then they'll also be taking on Stevenson next Saturday afternoon at home. While Engadine 1-12 on the year, they will be at home to Manistique on Tuesday and Brimley on Friday. And one other game last night, Matt, Lake Leelanau St. Mary's knocked off Cedarville Detour last night in Cedarville, 69-60. The Islanders 5-7 on the year are at Mid-Peninsula today and will host Rudyard on Tuesday. So, Matt, when we talked last week, Engadine and Pickford both didn't have a win. And as we talked today, both of them getting victories this past week.
Yeah, I watched that one too.
Okay.
What to say about it? Well, you know, for Pickford, a win is always nice. You know, To quote Jim Ross, was it bowling shoe ugly? Yes, it was. but you know, they got the win. Let me just say this. Let me tell you why Pickford won. Because Engadine was winning in the first quarter and at the half, I believe. Pickford, when they put a fast lineup on the floor, they won because of Hunter Hagen, Garrett Orsborn, Braylon Rounds. But those guys and Quincy Michalski, those need to be four-year guys on the floor. Why? Because you need some guys who can run. And the Engadine team is very heavy set. I wouldn't say that speed would be their greatest strength. And if you can run the floor, you're going to win decisively. Last year, we're pretty much the same kids. We beat them by like 40. And we just put in a fast lineup and pressed, and they just, you know, became a layup drill. When Pickford put in the fast kids and they pressured full court, they kind of ran away with the game. So the lesson moving forward is, and I just think this in general, I talked about that in the past, how they have to get back on defense. And, you know, sometimes I don't want a Monday morning quarterback because it was the place that, where I coach, but you need to get fast kids on the floor, and those fast kids are the reason they took control of the game. If take the guys who can't run, sit them down, get the guys who can run, get them on the floor.
Matt, looking at the other games this week in boys basketball, we talked about it with Cam Peterson, Rudyard, a good game, the game of the week. I would agree as well, knocking off a very good Clare team on the road, 48-41. One other game in boys basketball on Monday, Newberry topped Engadine at home, 63-51. Suhai fell at Gaylord on Tuesday, 52-47. St. Ignace all over Rogers City, 63-24. That game also on Tuesday, and we mentioned Engadine getting a win last week. They did get their first win of the season at Mid-Peninsula on Wednesday by the score of 63-28. Looking at the Straits Area Conference standings, Matt, as they sit right now, Rudyard, they've already clinched at least a share of the Straits Area Conference. They have a 6-0 record, and they can clinch it outright on Friday when they take on St. Ignace. That's the game of the week, in my opinion, coming up. St. Ignace, second place, 4-2 in the Straits. Suhai, third, 3-3. Sheboygan, fourth, at 2-3. And Newberry, in fifth, with an 0-7 record. Rudyard also atop the EUP Conference, 6-0 in EUP Conference play with four conference games to play. Cedarville Detour second at 5-2, followed by Newberry, who is third at 4-3. Brimley in fourth place with a 3-4 record. Pickford now in fifth at 1-5. And Engadine remains winless in the conference and in sixth place at 0-5. So, Matt, looking at this upcoming week, that Friday night game in St. Ignace very much intrigues me. We'll certainly talk about that next Saturday on our next edition of Full Court Press. But the Saints, played the Bulldogs pretty tough at home, or I should say in Rudyard earlier this season, and it's a team that's gotten better. That one should be a pretty interesting matchup Friday night.
Yeah, I think it's, when you look at this season for a regular season, it's the biggest game left in the region.
Yep.
Obviously, Rudyard's a favorite going into the game. They're undefeated. They beat him the first time. There's certain things that St. Ignace does not have an answer for, like inside. Mm-hmm. Like, it just doesn't match up well. But as we've seen, I don't know that there's a more efficient team than St. Ignace. Rudyard. But
right. other than Rudyard
themselves, they get the most out of their team. When they beat the Sioux, it was, if you were just going by depth, the Sioux's depth of talent just blew them away, but the St. Ignace lineup, the guys on the floor outplayed them and they got the win. And I've seen that, the first time they played Rudyard, they were very efficient, I thought. And if they had just improved their shot selection and reduced their turnovers by like 20%, I thought that they would have had the chance. Like, in order for them to beat Rudyard, it needs to be one of those games where everything has to go right. But unlike some of the other teams in the league, they do have the capability of winning. I would say this, if they could avoid the turnover, they have some very good shooters on their team. If they can be patient with it and take high percentage shots with avoiding the turnover, I would argue take some time. I don't think that they're going to be able to pressure Rudyard successfully. Clare did. Clare at the end of the game, pressured Rudyard. We saw the Sioux in the second half was able to do some full court pressure. I just don't think that St. Ignace will be able to do that. I think that the reason that Clare and the Sioux were able to do it is because of their physical ability. They have big, strong, fast kids. It's not just what do you want to do. You can't just throw Engadine on the floor and say, all right, well, we're going to pressure you. If you don't have kids that have the ability, if they're not big enough, strong enough, fast enough to do it. So I think that St. Ignace just needs to get back, play effective half-court defense, longer possessions, high percentage for them to have a shot. If I was wagering, what I'd wager is St. Ignace is going to give them a hell of a game, but I'd probably put Rudyard up by about 12.
Scott Nason and Matt Johnson with you on this February 12th edition of Full Court Press. And Matt, before we get to your latest installment of War Stories, I wanted to talk about your coaching experience and comment on something today that I try to talk with area coaches a lot with when I have them on the game or other shows, just not about the team that you're coaching as varsity head coach, but as the program itself. For a varsity head coach, it's more than just the 12 or so players you have on your own squad and their development. It's the program as a whole, including the junior varsity team, which usually plays before the varsity game, and bigger schools like the Sioux, who have a freshman basketball team, and pretty much every school that has middle school basketball and elementary. But, you know, play starts at the fourth grade level, so you usually have three teams playing at the elementary level, two in the middle school. So as a varsity head coach in boys basketball, you could have another seven teams other than the one you are coaching playing basketball during the season. And so the question I have for you today, as a former varsity head basketball coach in the area, how are you able to balance your responsibilities for your own team with the other ones in the program? How much involvement did you have as far as a system for the teams to play and follow? You know, the coaches and your involvement with them and trying to install a winning program at all levels, you know, especially at the lower levels. Most players, well, at all levels, really, but most players, parents, coaches, and fans want to see wins at every level. But, you know, to me, it's a little bit more than that, isn't it? It's about player development and installing that culture and getting players ready for the next level. That's me looking at it from a broadcaster or a parent perspective. I wanted to hear your views from a coaching perspective.
Yeah, and, you know, I think any ADs or aspiring ADs who are listening, this will be a valuable thing for you, because I'll tell you, when you're looking to hire a coach, what you're looking for, oh, and by the way, in the, maybe next week or the week after, speaking of hiring a coach, I'm gonna tell you who the next great coach, varsity coach who's not one right now will be.
Very good. A little tease there, Matt. I like it.
Yeah, I might tease it for 2 weeks. We'll see.
Okay.
But anyway, you're not just hiring an in-game coach or even an in-season coach. You are hiring essentially a program director.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a difference, because there's some people who know basketball who, you know, they can prepare a team for a game. They know how to prepare a game plan. They know how to do things in-game. But maybe because, you know, they don't have the energy or interest, whatever, to run a program. And those are different things. In fact, you might even pass up a better kind of in-game experience coach if they're not willing to do the things to build a program. Because otherwise you get giant gaps and it will hurt you tomorrow. All right. So first thing, when I took over in Pickford, it struck me that it really was like there was like junior, between junior high and high school, it wasn't a program. It was like four different teams.
Right.
Like seventh grade and eighth grade at JV University, everyone doing their own thing. You know, one team's in 2-3 zone, the other's man, one team's pressing, all four of them are running whatever offense, you know, they want. Some of them, we've been doing this for 30 years. Someone else, my old coach did blank. And I immediately, you know, had core principles. I said, pick for basketball, it's going to be about motion offense, man-to-man defense. We will pressure selectively and strategically, but that's not going to be that'll be a tool, but it's not going to be the core of what we do, because if you want to win a state title, you're probably not pressing in the state championship game because the team could probably handle the ball. Okay. So to teach motion offense, that motion offense involves teaching skills that they need to do years of development. So I set out and I'm like, I want coaches that can coach motion. And I looked at it at the time. I had Joe Rounds coaching JV. I had watched him when he was coaching seventh grade the year before, and I thought of kind of everyone who had been around, what he did most resembled the motion I was talking about. Like I saw that. Mike Collins is the AD in Pickford now. Brought in Mike He had expressed some interest in coaching. Chuck was AD there, our beloved Chuck.
Yep.
And Mike had expressed some interest, but I kind of sat down with him and we talked, and it was ideal because he brought energy, but also was going to teach motion, offense, man-to-man defense. Brought in Nick Zweifel, who's still there. He's coaching JV right now. Again, motion offense, man-to-man defense. Now, Steve McConkey was there. He's the varsity coach now in Pickford. But Steve's tale was a little different. He's been coaching in Pickford for a very long time, you know, decades. And he's someone who, Chuck was close to, and Chuck wanted, you know, thought that he'd be valuable for me, wanted me to keep him on. Certainly Steve is someone who I had a great deal of respect for and appreciate a lot of things he brought to the table. He wasn't so much motion offense, man-to-man defense, so he was kind of he did have kind of some different ways of doing it, of doing things. But for the most part, that's what our program did. And we actually got it down to the elementary level, too. So what it was is, like, I coached the coaches. There's certain teaching things that I would show the coaches, and they had to understand kind of the mindset going into it. And my thought was, if it's taught at that level, it'll pay dividends down the road. Most of those guys, I will say, I know that Pickford right now, the varsity season is not going well, but I will say I do think there's some fundamentals that are strong there. Mike is coaching eighth grade. They're very successful right now. Nick is coaching the JVs. They're having a lot of success right now. A lot of those principles are in action. I think that there are going to be brighter days to come. So how do you balance it? Well, I think it's just important that you go to the games. So, like, start with that. You want to go because you show them your presence, you show them you care. Okay? It shows you're invested. Next, you want to have conversations with the coaches about the players, like specifically. I want to know who's good at what. What are we dealing with? And the whole time, you're kind of, in your head, you're kind of making a projection. Keeping in mind, by the way, that it will change. But you're thinking to yourself, what's my team in 2 years, in 3 years, in 4 years? And then from there, when you're thinking long term, that's how you make decisions. It's not just short term about who are we going to move up. As an example, I moved up Braylon Rounds as a freshman, and I started him after a few games. And it was not just about what gives us the best chance this season. Because frankly, I didn't think we didn't have the talent to be a state championship team. But I did think this year right now, I thought would be better than the year before. And then 2 years from now, I thought it'd be better yet. I basically thought the talent would get better. So by putting Braylon, by putting Orsborn in games as underclassmen, it would make them that much better when we actually had a chance to win. Okay, that's by projecting. You're looking at where is our talent now? Where is it going to be in a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road? You have active conversations. And by the way, you have to be willing to change those projections because a lot of things happen. Some kids get more invested than others. You know, you get the kid who all of a sudden is 6'7", and that'll change your projection.
Scott Nason and Matt Johnson with you for this February 12th edition of Full Court Press. And Matt, it's time for one of our most popular segments of Full Court Press, War Stories with Matt Johnson, as Matt talks about his coaching and athletic director experiences and some of the more entertaining, interesting, or dare I say controversial stories in his experience. So Matt, what do you got for this week's edition?
Well, in this case, you know, we had a guest from Rudyard, so I have a Rudyard story. So this is an AD story. The situation was, it was December of 2012, and there was a girls basketball game at the Harris Call Gymnasium. In a past episode, we talked about the challenges involving with the outsourcing of the custodians. This would come into play on this particular evening.
Oh, no.
Someone got the bright idea that they were going to, there are these gates that will lock. If you don't have a key, you get locked out of the hallways of Rudyard High School. So, like, when you enter the gym, you walk straight and you go right into the gymnasium. But if you take a right, you go into the high school hallway. That's where the AD's office is and other things. Well, there are these gates that can be set up, and like out of the blue, without any notice, all of a sudden they decided, or someone decided, that they were going to lock the gates. And I didn't have a key. I think this might have been the security measures of a certain superintendent. Who, by the way, Scott, I saw him at the Mackinac Bridge last week.
What?
There was a sighting, a Habra sighting.
Oh, my.
Anyway, so all of a sudden during the game, a lady comes up to me and says, there's soap all over the floor in the women's bathroom. And
oh boy.
I walk over there and I first of all asked a lady, I said, can you please go in there and see if there's anyone in there? Make sure it's all clear. You know, I'm not just going to walk into the women's bathroom. So she did, and nobody was in there. So I walk in and the soap dispenser has been knocked to the ground. It must have been full because there is soap just everywhere covering the floor. So I think immediately, well, I have to get a custodian. The problem is they have put up these gates, these metal gates, and I cannot get to where the custodians are. There's a custodian room. I had no way of contacting them. I had my cell phone, but I didn't have any of their numbers. Nobody had notified me that this was going to be a thing. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, well, what the hell am I going to do? So I made this makeshift sign that we put up outside the women's restroom, and I essentially had to stand by the gate and try to scream down the hallway, could someone come here? Like you're calling for help, like you're in a distressed situation. And nobody was coming. I mean, this was minutes. Finally, one of the 18 or 19-year-old kids that was working there happened to be walking by. I see him walk down the hallway. I'm like, hey, you, get back. And he walks back. He walks in my direction. I said, there is a soap dispenser that has been knocked down in the women's bathroom. Could you please clean it up? Okay. So finally, you know, the thing gets cleaned up. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, just got to get through tonight. I mean, I'm very angry because, like, this is not the first time that something like this has happened where there's been some change that makes life way more inconvenient and nobody bothers to tell me. So he gets it cleaned up. I think we're good. We get into the varsity game. A woman comes up to me again and says, the soap dispenser is knocked down in the women's bathroom. I'm wondering, is this Groundhog's Day, Scott?
Like, I believe so.
Have this experience. We repeat the drill. I get someone. I go in. The soap dispenser has been now knocked down for a second time. After having me, and there is once again soap. And on top of it, after all we had gone through, I don't want to say threatened. I did not threaten anyone. But I did strongly encourage the custodian. I said, do not lock this gate again. This is the consequence of it being locked. He locked it again.
Oh, my goodness. I can always tell, Matt, when I go into a broadcast and I don't know, per se, the athletic director, I can always spot them because they're always the most stressed individual in the building, and they're very easy to find.
By the way, when that's happening, I hear some guy and he says, they were complaining about how inept everyone was. And, I was kidding a little heat there as the AD. I'm like, oh, they can't even clean the bathroom. Like there's soap all over the floor. And you're like, well, that's true. I mean, your name's on the thing. You're taking all the heat for it. But in that case, what are you going to do? You show up and someone just locks the gate and you don't have a key. What the hell are you going to do about it? And up until now, I didn't have a radio show to talk about it.
And now you have a public forum to express yourself every week, Matt, and we certainly appreciate it and enjoy when you do. Matt, before we go, of course, the big game tomorrow, Super Bowl 56, your Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Los Angeles Rams in steamy Southern California at SoFi Stadium. Don't know how much of a home field advantage it'll be for the Rams because in many of their games this season, it seemed like the visiting fans had as many, if not more, fans in attendance, but you're a Bengals fan, longtime Bengals fan. I want you to put on your analyst hat. You got to take your heart and rip this out of this prediction. How do you think the game's going to go, and who do you think's going to win?
Yeah, well, you know, I actually have to take off my fan hat because at the start on BetMGM, I put down $28 in the Bengals to win the Super Bowl, and if I win, I get 600.
That's fantastic.
So, but I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I could hedge this bet and bet 300 on the Rams, you know, and get 300. So you're really having to like really try and be objective about it. Like, do I think the Bengals are actually? So here's what I would say. I think that the Bengals match up against the Rams better than they did, you know, against the Chiefs. Although they do have to figure out what they're going to do with Aaron Donald.
Yes.
The interior. That's a potential nightmare. I mean, you saw what happened against Tennessee. I also think the Rams have going for them. Coach McVay has been in a Super Bowl before. You know, the Bengals, they're all new, but in a way, they're all just like young kids who just enjoy playing football with each other. So Joe Burrow doesn't seem to be particularly stressed right now. So. No. Honestly, as long as Aaron Donald can be contained, I honestly do like Cincinnati, but that's the big if. You know, if they're getting killed with inside pressure and that pass rush is too much, the Rams' offense is more explosive than Tennessee, so that's kind of the nightmare scenario is that the Rams' offense gets out and does some things, and then their pass rush is going crazy. So my big if here is if the Bengals coaches can figure out a way to stop the inside pass rush, I like my Bengals by 3. If not, it could be a long day.
I've been back and forth on this game for the past 2 weeks, Matt, and I was on ESPN Blacksburg with Paul Van Wagner, our former colleague, on Thursday, and I finally made my prediction. Many of the things you said I agree with as far as the Bengals and what they need to do to win. I really think an X factor in this game is Joe Mixon. Mixon, is very dependable and reliable, but I really think, especially if, Aaron Donald is involved, if they can find a way to get him the ball, not just on the ground but in the air, I like Cincinnati's chances, and I think the Bengals just are playing on the house's money. You mentioned your bet. They have no pressure. They are in a good position to be in this situation for many years to come. While the Rams, this is an all-in moment for them. They've given up a lot of draft capital, and will Matt Stafford revert to some of his former ways? He hasn't so far this postseason, so I'm going to say the Bengals win 27-24, game-winning field goal to win it. I know you would like that one.
Yeah, and we have to say that the kicker is just ice water going through the veins.
Unbelievable.
Pearson. I'd love that kid. But Mixon, it's funny you bring that up because it's like on passing downs, they take him out and they put in Samaje Perine, who's like one-tenth as explosive. And I get it because during the season, you don't want to like use them to death. You want to have, it's a long season, but it's the Super Bowl. There's nothing to save them for. So it's like,
right.
Are we really taking out Mixon for Samaje Perine? Like, I hope they keep him in those passing downs.
I think you may see that on Sunday. Matt, appreciate you joining us here on Full Court Press. Our next show will be a week from today on February 19th. Looking forward to watching the Super Bowl, and I'm pulling for the Bengals as well. And I know you'll have a lot to say next week on that game and covering the world of EUP boys basketball. Thanks for joining us, and go Bengals on Sunday.
All right. I hope to be lighting a victory cigar.
I can't wait. That's going to do it for this February 12th edition of Full Court Press. I want to thank Matt Johnson, our co-host, along with our special guest, Cam Peterson, a sophomore guard for the Red Yard Bulldogs varsity boys basketball team. We'll have more about boys basketball and the entire world of local, regional, and national sports coming up Monday night on our News Talk 1400 edition of The Game, 6 to 8 o'clock, and we will be joining you next Saturday, February 19th. For our next edition of Full Court Press here on The Game, Entertainment and Media.